Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
All the things are happening. Tech issue related. Dead cameras, things not working, Windows being weird. Just standard computer usage stuff when you're using a Windows PC.
Absolutely. every once in a while, Microsoft will update and... for some reason, when they update things, it is let's take a working computer and update it to a non-working computer. And whenever you are a content creator like Lloyd and I, you have a lot of stuff hooked up to your computer, and that stuff does not play well with a Windows update. And his camera was not having a fun day, so he went and got an old camera, but that's okay. We're going to survive. We're going to get through this. Before we actually do start talking about Stadia, which will happen very soon, we do record this show live over on our YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're a little late today. Sorry about that. Thanks for the patience, everybody. So if you haven't already gone over there and subscribed, please do click the little bell notification so you get notified when we send out new videos. If you are watching this on the YouTube channel and you want to subscribe to the audio channel, that helps us as well. Just go into whatever podcasting app that you prefer and do a search for StadiaCast and go ahead and subscribe. Lloyd, what have you been playing this week, man?
It's been a really busy week. Before we get into what we've been playing, I got a piece of hardware which I am absolutely 100% in love with. It's this little guy right here. It is a backbone controller, MFI controller for my iPhone. So you basically take this little guy. It opens up. Your phone snaps into it. It has a lightning port on one side. Of course, I have a big beefy case, so it's really, really annoying taking this two-piece OtterBox off, on and off. But that's a me problem, not an OtterBox problem, and not a backbone problem, definitely. And this basically shows up on your phone as a controller. So you can play Apple Arcade games, you can play a bunch of different stuff on iOS, but I've been using it for Stadia. I've also been using it for Xbox Remote Play, because I'm not in the xCloud beta yet for iOS, but that works really well. But I've been using it a lot for Stadia, and we'll get into what we're playing. But man, I'm going to take my phone apart as I'm talking. This device feels as close to an actual physical piece of hardware that I've ever had with these types of devices. I've used these in the past. Usually they were like old Bluetooth ones. Mm-hmm. They weren't MFI because they were pre-MFI. I haven't tried one since MFI became a thing, so it's been a number of years. I haven't tried the Kishi or anything like that. So this is kind of my first experience with one of the newer ones. And when it's on your phone, it basically just shows up as I said, as a controller to iOS. And then you actually have physical controls. The buttons are great. The joysticks are great. The device itself might be a little bit small for some people. I don't have huge hands, but I have large hands. And it's getting to the point where it might be a little bit too small for me. If it was just a little bit smaller, like say 3% or 4% smaller, it would be a little bit too small and uncomfortable. The way it is now, it's perfect. So I've been playing a big chunk of Cosmic Star Heroine with this. I was saving that game for when this device arrived. I wanted to see if it's possible to play a full game with text on my phone. It is. I've played 6 hours, 7 hours of Cosmic Star Heroine. I think I'm on chapter 8 or 9, which is, nice. From what I understand, close to the end of the game. And I've been playing it probably 90% on my backbone and absolutely loving it. The really nice thing about the backbone that I like, maybe everybody else has a different opinion, but it comes with this little backbone app. And it acts as kind of like a social media thing. You can record gameplay and share it with your friends. But the cool thing about it is it will search your installed apps on your phone every time you open it. So if you download a new game, you'll immediately be able to see if it's controller based. Like you could see right here, it shows Oceanhorn. boom, it's there. Oceanhorn support is supported because I downloaded Oceanhorn. It supports controllers. Boom, there it is in my device. So it's really cool. And the other really neat thing about this app, once I get it there, is there's a permanent button on your controller. It's a little orange button that glows because this thing has a pass-through charging port as well. So you can actually just plug it in through Lightning and it will charge your phone while you're playing. But at any time, you can hit the button and the Backbone app opens. So it's like a physical Xbox button or a Stadia button or a PlayStation button, but it's on this little device. So yeah, you can see my home screen. I hit that little button and boom, the little Backbone app shows up. Really, really cool. I've been playing Stadia, of course, with the web app. So you can start the web app. It takes a couple seconds to boot up as that's going. Here we go. I'm gonna open up Cosmic Star Heroine. You can see there's a controller linked because it detects that I have a physical piece of hardware attached to my iPhone. How do I get over there? Come on, rotate. I've noticed that the Stadia web app is a little bit pokey these days. I think they're doing some updates for it or whatever. Or maybe
they did just update it recently so that it now has a layout that is more consistent with the regular app, which I think is a good thing. Like you and I have complained forever that they need to have the same layout everywhere. But I want to ask a quick question about this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Does it have a button that is, are all of the buttons that you need for Stadia, like the capture button, the share button, like is all that stuff on there? Share button. I don't know what it is.
So there's like a select and start button, there's a capture button, and then there's the Backbone button.
Okay.
The one thing I'm not sure of, I think when you hit the capture button, it uses the Backbone's internal capture thing. So it has its own capture thing. If you hit the button, it wants to record a video, it'll pop up that little share sheet saying, do you want to start recording your video or streaming your video? If you have like streaming software installed, which is cool. And if you hold it down for a couple seconds, it takes a screenshot. You can change the way that works. Because the Stadia app, as you can hear, I don't know if you can hear it. You can kind of hear it. Since the Stadia thing that I'm running on my phone is a web app, if I hit the Backbone button, it doesn't always bring up the Stadia menu. It does sometimes. It doesn't all the time. I'm trying to figure out why that isn't happening. Hopefully what Google will do is just always have a physical on-screen button. Like if you touch the screen, it should have an overlay that has like the little Stadia logo. You hit it and then it brings up that side panel. That would be a great way to fix this particular issue. But man, I absolutely love this device. I don't play games on my phone. I hate playing games on my phone, or I did, which is great. People are saying PC era, Kishi always brings up the Stadia menu. Are you running the Stadia app or are you using the web app? When this was working with the Stadia app, because I believe they were showing off some video of Backbone running on Android. I saw some earlier videos. I'm not sure if that device is available. If you hit this little button, it always brought up the Stadia. See, it did that time. So that worked. I held it down for a couple seconds and let go. But if I just hit it once, it brings that over. If I hit it again, it goes back into the game that I was just in. It seems to be like very finicky. So if you hold it down for a half second or a second, it works. If you hold it down for too long, it doesn't. So there's a little bit of fiddling. And I'm sure with any new device, there's going to be some fiddling, especially since this is a web app. I'm sure the Backbone developers are going to have to do a little bit of work constantly to make sure that it's constantly working with whatever the newest version of the Stadia progressive web app. But man, I'm so happy I bought this little device. I can't wait to play a bunch of games while laying in bed. And for me, the best part is I could be sitting there laying in bed or sitting on a sitting on the couch, and I just grab my Beats and I put my Beats on, and I have killer headphones, I have a killer control, and I have my iPhone as a big screen. So it's pretty awesome. I'm a huge fan of my Backbone. They're not available in Canada, so you have to order from the US and pay all sorts of duty and shipping and stuff. Hopefully they'll get some sort of partnership with like Best Buy or something up here in Canada, so people don't have to pay an extra like $30 US to get it up here. But I thought with the reviews that I had seen, a lot of people in the industry that I really appreciate were talking about the device and that they love it so much. And I decided to give it a gamble. And I'm pleasantly surprised. It's just this really cool little device. The one thing I wish it had, and obviously this isn't an issue with the piece of hardware, the physical piece of hardware. But when you have it like this, it's pretty tall and it seems like it's kind of flimsy. It would be nice if they sold like a carrying case, like a hard formed carrying case, so I could put this in my bag with me to take along with me, because I don't want to have this thing rattling around in my backpack.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, because of it, there's so many things sticking out that it could easily get caught on this or that or whatever. It feels like it would easily get broken in a backpack.
Yeah, that's the thing that a lot of people love the Kishi for, is it goes down smaller. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine has a Kishi and absolutely does not like it. So I was like, okay, maybe I won't buy a Kishi. Maybe I'll wait for something better. And then I saw the Backbone, and no one I knew had one except for people online that were posting videos. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the guinea pig with this $100 US add-on to my iPhone. But man, I'm absolutely, absolutely loving this device. So this is going to increase the amount of Stadia that I play on my phone, which in the past has been zero. So any increase is a positive increase.
Yeah, definitely. That's very cool. So you've been playing Cosmic Star Heroine. How are you feeling about that game? Are you hooked, or are you just like, all right, well, I just need something to occupy my time?
I really dig it. I love old school RPGs. The thing that I find the most annoying about Cosmic Star Heroine is you'll be watching a cutscene and they're like, okay, yeah, you have to go to this part of the screen, and you have to go down and stand right in this dark alleyway. And then you do other things, you get in other battles, and you forget what you had to do. And there doesn't appear to be a way that you can look at your current mission. Like, what do I have to do? So one time I had to like go talk to every single person in this other in this little area. And finally someone says, oh, yeah, I heard some weird noises from this alleyway back there. I'm like, yes, an alleyway. I had to go stand in a stupid alleyway. That's what I had to do. The game itself is a hell of a lot of fun. I as I said, I love retro RPGs, and playing a modern one, a modern take on a retro RPG is always fun. The thing that I like about this Backbone is the text in Cosmic Star Heroine isn't too small. I was worried it would be too small playing a text heavy game on my iPhone, but that was not an issue at all. So
I think that that goes game to game and developer to developer. I think 100%. That, you know, I've played I don't play games on my phone like ever, but I've played billion games on my Switch, and some of them the developers clearly put absolutely zero thought into the fact that they were putting something on a smaller screen, while others were very intentional or even gave you options where you could pick the font or change the font size or whatever. So and I also think that when you're looking at something like Cosmic Star Heroine, which is designed around this 8 to 16 bit aesthetic, that always tends to be pretty readable. It's when you are dealing with usually like Square Enix or something like that, where they're like, you know, like these big developers, and they, how do I want to say this? I don't want to say lazy, but I think that they don't think about all of the situations that these days you have to think about. And, they just think, oh, well, this UI looks cool. And while it's good that something looks cool, it also needs to be, you know, easy for old people like us to read.
Yeah, and I think that's the bonus with Cosmic Star Heroine is it was made to play on phones, on consoles. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just designed around the thought that someone would have a 60-inch TV in their basement. it's more designed around all the different ways to play. So it works perfectly on my iPhone. I'd be worried that some of like the Ubisoft games that have very small text on screen would be a little bit tough to read.
That's what I was thinking of.
But I'm an old man, so my eyes aren't the same as a young person's eyes, so it probably wouldn't be an issue for a lot of people there. So, but yeah, I'm really, really, really loving the Backbone. It's good, and I'm loving Cosmic Star Heroine. It is a great game.
Very cool. All right, moving on. We just got a super chat, but we'll talk about all of the super chat stuff at the end of the show. So thank you very much for the super chat, but hold off. We will get to it very soon. I have been playing Judgment, and I am really impressed by that game. I will say, I hate the music at the very beginning. Like, that was really irritating. That is an irritating song, and that's just a totally objective or subjective thing. Like, I just don't personally enjoy that genre of music. So, like, I watched about half of the intro credit thing where with that song, and I said, you know what, I'm out, and I skipped it. So hopefully I didn't miss anything important there, but yeah. I am really enjoying this game, and it, you know what, it really made me feel like watching some like old dubbed kung fu movies. That I've always been a huge fan of those old dubbed movies, and I feel like That this is what it feels like to me. Is I feel like I'm watching an old dubbed like Japanese detective movie, and yeah. I will say the combat is a little too button mashy for me. I'm not a huge fan of the button mashy, like XXX. Like, it came up and it was like press X 7 times and then Y. And I'm like, oh really? Okay, that's, I don't really care for that kind of thing, but. I'm starting to get better at it. Like, right now I have the ability to run at a wall, and I kind of like run up a wall and jump off and can press Y halfway through the air to cause some problems for the street toughs that keep attacking me for no apparent reason. So the combat's a little weak for me, not because I think it's bad. It's just, it's not my kind of combat. Mm-hmm. The story, though, is very, very intriguing. I'm enjoying the voice acting. I don't know if I would say the voice acting is good, but it's entertaining. And right. That's where I'm at with the game. I love the fact that you can, like, you have, like, there's posters all over the city, and you can take out your camera and try and take a picture of the poster, and you can scan these little things, and it'll get you skill points or new skills that you can use. I like the fact that you can go, like, the game will pause and put you into first person mode so that you have to like look around and find things and then like hover over them and then press down the trigger and the A button in order to really highlight those things. Like, the detective parts of the game are very cool. Yeah. And I also really like the part when you are interviewing people and you're talking to somebody and you have to make choices based on what you think is going to get you the best information. Of course, you can go through all of the choices, but the game rewards you for making, I guess, what the game has decided is the best choice in that particular situation. And you [S2] Right. [S1] Get like these little stars, which up your SP so that you end up with more skill points by being careful. [S2] Mm-hmm. Everything that I have experienced so far, with the exception of the intro music and the combat, is absolutely top notch, and I'm really having fun with it. Have you been playing it at all? I know you did our first look, but have you been playing it since then?
I played about another 45 minutes after my first look, so not super super far, but I really dig it. It gives me so many vibes from various other games. I've never played a Yakuza game, so it doesn't give me vibes of Yakuza other than seeing trailers and things. But doing the investigation makes me think of Phoenix Wright, where you're kind of scanning a crime scene looking for blood or something and trying to figure that stuff out. The gameplay itself, like when you're chasing after someone, it makes me think of Shenmue, obviously because of the setting and things like mm-hmm. that. And it also has the same thing that Shenmue had, which is like hyper high resolution areas with low resolution all around them. And it kind of, like, it kind of sticks out a little bit because of the very simple geometric world you're in, but with these high resolution textures. I get a little bit of that with Judgment as well, but I'm really enjoying it. As far as getting a first Yakuza game kind of on Stadia, I think this is a good one to go with. It's standalone. You don't really need to know anything that happened in the world other than you're in Japan, I guess, is the only thing you really need to know. The voice acting is cringingly bad in all the best ways. Like when you yes. watch like a really bad dubbed kung fu movie, like you were saying, Bill, it's very much like that. So it makes me laugh every once in a while because you get the tone in someone's voice, but the face doesn't really match it. And it always makes me laugh a little bit when that happens. Yeah, man, I'm really, really digging it. It's a lot of fun. It plays well, on my phone as well, which I think is going to be a new thing I look forward to, or look into, which I've never done before. But yeah, I'm super happy this one came to Stadia, and hopefully we get the other ones, because I'd love to play them on Google Stadia, even though I have access to them on other platforms.
Yeah. In addition to playing Judgment, which just came out, it's $40, definitely worth a pickup if what we've said so far sounds interesting to you, definitely check that out. I've also been playing more Resident Evil 7. Last night, my wife
surprised
and I were...
me.
Huh?
That super surprises me. I thought you'd bounce and you'd be bounced forever. I'm so happy that you're going back into it.
I felt the same way. And, you know, if you ask me right now, am I going to play more? The answer is probably no right now. But after a few days of distance from the experience, my brain says, okay, let's check it out some more. But this one was actually my wife's fault. We were watching, I can't even remember what was happening, but I said, oh, you think that's scary? Here, watch this. And I brought up like my video of like the second one when I really got scared, and I was like, watch this moment right here. And then the next thing we know is we were just sitting there watching it, and we're like, she goes, can you play this right now? I go, yeah, I can play it right now, but if I'm gonna play it, I want to record it. And we just so happen to have a splitter which takes the signal from my all of my gaming systems, and it comes to this computer screen right here, and it goes to this TV over there, and we've got like a little couch area where we sit and watch TV. And right. So she was on the couch over there watching me playing the game, and I was over here recording. And so I haven't edited the video and uploaded it or anything, but that's going to come soon enough. But you can hear there's a lot of very scary moments in this section of the game that I was playing, and like I'm screaming and she's screaming, and then because she's screaming so loud, I started laughing, and we're just kind of, it's this weird feedback loop of we're scaring each other and making each other laugh as we're playing. So that video will come out sometime later this week when I have time to sit down and edit it. But that game is so fantastic. I yeah. really, really like it, and I also really, really hate it at the same time. and I'm excited for Resident Evil 8. I can't wait. I'm going to be doing the on whatever day it is. May 1st. So that's like Saturday, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so on Saturday at 8 p.m. my time, which is U.S. Eastern, I'm going to be streaming the demo for Resident Evil 8 here on the YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv. So make sure that you click subscribe and turn on the alerts so that when I go live with that, you can see me get terrified as well. All right. What, you been playing anything else, man?
Not really. I popped into Immortals Fenyx Rising a little bit to check out the new DLC. They have something gods, which doesn't help because there's two of their DLCs that had gods in the title. But this one you play as someone else, and you're also in a kind of a top-down world. They change it to sort of like a top-down beat-em-up Each of the DLCs has had kind of like a different motif and a different I don't know, different gameplay styles or different gameplay elements thrown into it. This has been actually pretty fun. I've only played just a few minutes of it, just to check out to see if the DLC was on Stadia, and then I jumped in. Yeah, I won in the chat room says the Lost Gods. There you go. It's fun. I really love Phoenix Rising. I hope they do more with that franchise. I hope we get more stuff added to the game that we already own. Jumping into a different world, sort of where you're in like kind of like a kind of, I don't know, a kid's version of Diablo. I don't want to call it a kid's version because I want to say there's no rough edges. It's kind of like very, very, very top down, but not very top down. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here. It doesn't feel like a Diablo from start to finish, but there are some of those kind of elements into it, and it's very interesting how they've sort of taken a new gameplay style and kind of just lightly grafted it to the game that already existed. So it's been a lot of fun, and I popped into a couple other games and things like that, coming up with some ideas for other videos and first looks and stuff like that. So it's been a pretty busy Stadia week for me, which is great. I got my COVID vaccine on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday was kind of shot for me. So it's been playing a lot of catch up and getting some gameplay in and coming up with some content creation ideas after that. Because I do want to get all that stuff recorded and done and all that, but I did have to take some time away for my body to kind of fight off this vaccine that was put into my system to raise all the troops in my in my white blood cells and get all that stuff going. So it's been a lot of fun, a lot of Stadia stuff, but nothing big that I really want to chat about other than the Immortals stuff, which was fun.
I've not been playing. I played a little bit of Hitman 3. They just did an update where they have this thing called an elusive target. The elusive targets, this was all new to me because Hitman 3 is my first Hitman game that I've ever played. Really, really like it. But the elusive targets, the way that they work is that they show up for a limited amount of time. Like literally you have 10 days. I think it was 10 days. It could have been more or less, but it doesn't really matter. A certain number of days in order to sit down at your game and, try and take out this target. And then after that, that elusive target goes away, which is really cool. It's a cool mechanic. I feel like they've hit the right amount of time. Like I still have, if you're listening to this right now, then you still have, I think, 8 days left in order to get the target down. And I think like 10 days is kind of a sweet spot. You know, you've got enough time for everybody to be able to find 45 minutes to sit down and do it. Now, the other cool thing about the elusive targets is a lot of ways that you play Hitman 3 is like trial and error. Like you try something, oh, I got caught, or oh, I got killed, or, oh no, I killed the wrong person, like that kind of thing. There's a lot of trial and error to Hitman 3. If you're an actual assassin, my guess would be that there's not a lot of trial and error. If you mess up, then you're probably done, right? Well, that's what the elusive targets are like, because when you start the elusive target mission, it warns you. It says, if you die, you're done. You can never play this one again. If you if you start completing objectives, like, because when you play a mission in Hitman 3, it gives you some objectives to do. If you start completing objectives, you cannot start over. You are locked in to that mission. Basically saying you have one chance at this, which is really, really interesting. You cannot save, and so you literally only have one shot at it. And playing an elusive mission after having taken an extended break from the game is a very bad idea, because I couldn't remember all of the buttons that I was supposed to press. I couldn't remember how things worked, And of course I failed the mission and now I can't play it again. But next time the elusive mission, that there's another elusive mission that comes out, I'm going to practice. I'm going to go in and play the game for a couple hours first, and then I'll try out the elusive mission. I was going to record it, but I died so fast. I ended up just throwing away the footage because it wasn't like I didn't get a chance to do anything because the reason that I got killed was because I hit the wrong button and it ended up like alerting everybody around me. And I was like, oh, really? You're so dumb. But it's really cool. I like the idea behind the elusive missions. And, you know, I would really my only gripe that I want to complain about is Google, like they had this whole thing called Click to Play, and they made a video about it, and they talked about Click to Play. It's this cool thing. You watch a YouTube video, you click a link, and you can play the game. Great.
Right.
And then they put out a video saying, hey, there's this new thing in Hitman 3, and there you go. And then they didn't put a link in the description to like a Stadia link in the description for you to just click and take you to the game. And I'm not talking about state share, because that was my first complaint was like, this is a game with state share. Why don't you have that built in? And the reason why I believe is because that state would no longer be usable after the 10 days because of the limited time of the elusive target.
Right.
Anyway, I think it's really cool, and I'm very interested in seeing more of this in the future. Jem in chat says it took me 2 hours to do the elusive mission because I didn't know who the target was and ended up killing everyone. Yeah, the target in this particular elusive mission, and this isn't spoilers because they tell you this in the mission briefing, she has a like a body double, and you can't tell which one is which. And there was a moment very early on in my gameplay where like there's a woman and she's on the phone. And I was running my stupid yap as I was doing something. And I couldn't tell if she had said, I don't remember the target's name, Clarissa or something. I'm Clarissa. Or if she was talking to Clarissa on the phone. And so I was like, I had that problem where I was like, okay, is this the target? Is this not the target? And then there's a moment a little bit later where they're both in the same room. But I was on the other wall and I was holding down or on the other side of a wall and I was holding down the button that lets me see through walls and like my senses or whatever and mutes everything so I can hear conversations and I could hear them talking, but I couldn't tell which one. I wasn't close enough to tell which one was saying which thing, so I still couldn't tell who they were. But I totally get what you're saying, Jem. It's really cool. It's a really cool system, and I'm looking forward to when the next one comes out since I screwed this one up. have you ever done elusive targets in the Hitman games before?
I have, and I've read about them. I've never, back before the Stadia version, when I gave it another try, I really didn't enjoy the Hitman games so much. So when these all came out, I would read about them, but that's about it. I definitely should go in and give this one a test, because it is free for anybody. You can basically play it on Stadia with the free version of the game that is available to play. So you can do this one elusive mission in that area, which is a nice way for everybody to try what these elusive missions really are.
Yeah, and Google, put the links in your YouTube description that take people to the game. Literally, it's the least you could do to market your platform.
You know the thing that you said was really cool about your platform?
Use it!
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on and talk about some of the news. And we've already kind of discussed some of this. Judgment, we talked about extensively. Destiny 2 has the Guardian games. Speaking of games that are free, Destiny 2 is free. And if you have a Gmail account, you can play Destiny 2 on Google Stadia, and it's not going to cost you anything. Now, between May... The closing ceremonies are between May 7th and May 9th. I think that the Guardian games is already active. Like, you can play it right now. I loaded into the game for a little bit just to remind myself, okay, how does this work? And then I was like, yeah, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to get my butt kicked trying to compete in the Guardian games because I haven't been playing in ages. This is going to be Hitman 3 or Elusive Target all over again. So I ended up closing it down. But I love Destiny 2, and you forget how pretty that game is. Like, when I load it up and I start playing, I was like, wow, I can't believe how awesome this game looks. It's just so gorgeous. And it's not even, here comes the resolution, people. It's not even 4K, but it looks really, really good. They nailed the art style. Are you going to try out the Guardian games at all?
I'm so over Destiny. I tried really hard to get into Destiny 2, and I just couldn't. I spent so much time in Destiny 1 that this didn't feel right to me for whatever reason, and it just wasn't on my list. So unlikely. I'm super happy it's here for people that love Destiny, because there are a lot of people that play Destiny constantly. Mm-hmm. That sadly is not me. I think there's someone on our Discord that has like 1,200 hours in Destiny or something crazy. So there are a lot of people that really, really love that game. And I am not one of those people, sadly.
Now, in that same blog post where they were talking about the Guardian games, they also were talking about Ubisoft Plus. And I was like, well, wait a second. Ubisoft Plus is already on Google Stadia. So why are they bringing this up? But basically, what they did now is they removed a little bit of friction. They made it so now, if you want to subscribe to Ubisoft Plus and you happen to already be a Stadia user, you can do it right through the Stadia app. You don't have to go to another website. So you don't actually have to go to like Ubisoft.com or whatever and sign up and then link your accounts. All you have to do is say, I'm going to subscribe to Ubisoft Plus, and then I'll be able to play. And, you know, all of the games that are on Ubisoft Plus and are on Stadia are then unlocked for you to play anytime you want. I don't believe Ubisoft Plus is in Canada yet, is it, Lloyd?
No, I think what this whole blog post was trying to get at, and they did it in an awkward way. Sometimes the communication does and tend to be a little bit awkward, is that Ubisoft Plus is now out of beta. It was in beta for a while. It's now out of beta. You can buy it on Stadia or buy it on Ubisoft's website, make your link that way. But they didn't come right out and say that. So everyone was like, but Ubisoft Plus is already here. Like, what are you talking about? Are you drunk, Google? It's like, no, it's now out of beta. So now everybody has access to it, even though everybody in the US already had access to it. And hopefully this means that in the near future, you'll be able to get it in Canada and the UK and all the other supported areas for Stadia. Because that is currently not possible. Although Jem, who's in our chat room, did post a video about him, or a series of tweets, I think it was, about setting up a VPN, going to the US, signing up for an Ubisoft US account, linking it that way, and it worked. That seems like far too many steps for me. I'll just wait for it to be here in Canada proper, but hopefully that'll be soon.
Sander L in chat says it's not out of beta. Honestly, it's like it's a subscription. I don't know how beta a subscription can be. I can understand like a service being in beta, like right. Stadia, but like you're just subscribing to have a license key attached to your account. So I'm not really sure how beta that needs to be. Like the whole idea of putting beta on the on Ubisoft Plus in the first place doesn't make sense to me. It's like, here, you give us money and we're going to give you access to these licenses until you stop giving us money, and then we'll take it back. Like, what kind of beta testing do you really need for that? Maybe I'm misinformed, but whether it's in beta or not is kind of beside the point. What they did is they removed friction. The friction is gone, so now you don't have to go through this whole multi-step process in order to take advantage of it. You could just hit a button basically and give them money that way. And anytime that you take away friction, you make it easier for people to try things out. So I do think Ubisoft Plus is very cool. I'm not going to subscribe to it because most of those games I'm just not interested in. I'll just buy the ones that I really am interested in that's just me though. I know that there are a lot of people who their Ubisoft is their jam. That's the thing that they absolutely love. And like that's their favorite developer, and I can understand that. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I could see a big rash of signups right for the next Far Cry when that comes out, and then subscribe for a month or two, and then disconnect. So, it's good. I Ubisoft Plus is a great service if you want to play Ubisoft games, and the fact that it's now easier to get on. You don't have to figure out the mystical steps to link your accounts. Now it's just you can buy it right through the Stadia website, which makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. Hopefully the more worldwide rollout will come in the near future, because there are a lot of people up here in Canada I know are just clamoring, and people in the UK that are clamoring for more easier ways to access Ubisoft games. And through the subscription service, it's definitely an easy way to access Ubisoft games.
And I wonder if the delay is something to do with like local laws or something, like where they have to like make sure that the contract says it in just a certain way so that you can't like sue them for something. I don't know, maybe that's what the holdup is for, you know, other countries. Moving on, we also have, that was the This Week in Stadia. Then we had the next up with Stadia, where we've got two games that were announced. Farming Simulator 22, I don't care. Lots of people do, but I don't. And then Legend of Keepers, which I think looks really awesome. Farming Simulator, I never played one. And then when Stadia first launched, one of the first games that came out was Farming Simulator. I think it was 19 Gold Edition. And there was all this consternation about which version did we get, and Google made a mistake there, and then they fixed it, and everybody has like the super awesome edition or something that came with Pro. I played it, and I can recognize that this is something that people could easily do to relax. Like, you just sit there and you're relaxing and doing your thing. I was just bored, and that's totally fine. But my guess is if you like Farming Simulator, whatever, you're going to like the next Farming Simulator as well. So I don't have anything else to say about Farming Simulator. Do you?
No, I get why people like it. Just like you said, Bill, it fills the Sim City need for a lot of people, just being able to slowly work on something that isn't reality. I get it. Not my jam, but good thing for people that really enjoy that game.
Now, something that is my jam, and I'm very excited for next week on April 29th, Legend of Keepers, Career of a Dungeon Manager looks really interesting. That game is coming out on the 29th. Very, very cool looking game. Oh, they didn't put any video in here. I was going to click on the video. But basically, you... What's the Steam World game where you are like... Oh God, I can't think of the name of it. SteamWorld Quest.
A quest?
Yeah. Where you've got like
heart?
The Hand of Gilgamesh.
Quest.
Quest, yeah. So SteamWorld Quest, you have these and I'm not saying that Legend of Keepers is like that, but what I saw of the footage reminded me of that. Where you've got like a dungeon that you're going through, and you have like your three characters. And you are pitted against the three characters that are over on the other side of the screen, and it's turn-based mechanics and stuff like that. That kind of thing, very compelling to me, very interesting. They've taken that and they flipped it on its head, because now you're the bad guys. You know, you've got heroes coming into your dungeon, and you're trying to keep them out. And I think that that's really cool. My one quibble, I mean, first off, you're just the bad guys. I don't know how different it can really be, but I mean, in my brain, the thing that comes to mind is, okay, well, the bad guys tend to stay in the dungeon and the good guys have to go through the dungeon to find them. So am I just sitting in the same room with hero after hero after hero coming after us? Or am I exploring more? And if I'm exploring more, then how is it different in any way from a traditional game like this? I don't know, but I'm interested in checking it out. I like the graphic style. Are you interested in Legend of Keepers?
100%. One of my favorite games from back in like the Pentium computer days was a game called Dungeon Keeper, where you played an evil overlord and you were making a dungeon and that the heroes would try to come and ransack and steal your gold and you had to kill them. Loved those games. There's a bunch of games that were similar to that where you'd be setting up traps and trying to kill the good guys while being the evil overlord guy. I think there's even a game called Overlord where you're one of those guys as well. Those genre of games I absolutely loved, and this one looks really good as well. So I'm really excited about this one. It's a roguelite. It's you're managing a dungeon and fighting the enemies as they come in. Assuming you're unlocking new skills and talents and powers and minions and all this other stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And I definitely want to play this one.
Me too. There's been a lot of irritation in the Stadia community recently about Outriders. For good reason. The game is broken on the platform. But we finally got Square Enix to actually tell us something. This comes to us from Reddit. They said, "We would also at this time like to share some more news around the status of Outriders on Stadia. Stadia has followed a different development timeline than other platforms. This is also why the Stadia version has a certain unique features such as Stadia's Stream Connect, but also doesn't necessarily face the same bugs and issues that other platforms may." Well, they have all their own bugs and issues. Thank you very much. Yep. "It was our intention to converge these development builds shortly after the Outriders launch in order to provide Stadia players with the same experience and access to cross-play matchmaking pool. Unfortunately, the launch weekend issues we faced, as well as the recent inventory wipe bug, have consumed much of our focus that would otherwise have been spent bringing Stadia in line with the other platforms. As these other priority issues will be very soon have been addressed, we will once again proceed with bringing a Stadia version up to date. We hope to release a patch for Stadia in the week of April 26th, so that's very soon, that will address pre-order issues. A second patch will follow soon after, and we do hope to be in position where Stadia will be fully in line with the other platforms in the coming weeks, though we are working to the sooner the better timeline. We understand this is less than ideal and ask for your patience. We will let you know as soon as we have news regarding this matter." So I think that that's all fine. It's great that they told us this. They should have had somebody get on the horn and tell everybody this as soon as possible. Even if you don't say things like the week of April 26th and instead say as soon as possible, you get somebody out there, you be transparent about it, and you say, "Hey, we thought that everything was going to go fine." And, you know, just like the famous general says, you know, your plan is only great right up until that first bullet is fired. all of the planning turned out to not work so great for them. And because they had all of these problems, they had to take their teams and refocus to get things working, because when you have everybody's inventory just disappearing, that's kind of a big deal. And while, yes, the Stadia version was really broken, We didn't, as far as I know, we didn't have our inventories disappearing. I stopped playing because the game was just not fun because of the way it plays on Stadia. So I'm really hoping that we get all those patches, we get everything in sync, and then we can continue to play, because everything about the game, for me, seems great. But the way it runs on Stadia, actually, the way it runs on my PC is not great either. Like, it's a very poorly optimized game. Across the board, and for I played it on GeForce, I've played it on my computer, I've played it on Stadia, and all three of them have had different crappy experiences associated with it. So, like we've said before, the game seems great, but it's just not done and shouldn't have been published already. They should have waited. But Are you going to go back to it once they get the Stadia stuff worked out, or are you moving on to greener pastures?
I've still been playing a little bit Outriders, mostly on Xbox. Haven't played too much more on Stadia. You were referencing the item deleting bug. That only came with a newer patch. So the patch that came out on Stadia didn't have that bug in it. And their rush to fix the server issues inserted that bug, and then they had to fix that bug. Their talk about how Stadia was a different development timeline, it's interesting. I mean, every version essentially is a separate version. Like when you make a game, you have a similar code base, but there's a lot of stuff that is unique to the platform. The fact that Stadia wasn't included with their patches is kind of interesting. Maybe it's a smaller team or a different team entirely is working on it, and it took some time to get all that going. But it all comes back to communication. If they would have told us this right away, there wouldn't have been the hand-wringing that we've had over the last few weeks. Just tell us. If it's not going to be fixed for a month, tell us. At least we know. And then there isn't the people that check news blogs every day to see if they're finally going to get their game fixed. They'll know right away. And then they can make the decision whether they're going to refund it or wait or what, because they actually have information where we just didn't have information from Square Enix forever on this game until this blog post.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to from a game that launched broken and is still broken to a game that launched complete and is getting updates to make it even better. And that is Monster Boy. Yeah. Dragon's Curse?
Yeah, and the Dragon's Curse.
Dragon's Curse. That game's fantastic.
No, sorry.
What's that?
And the Cursed Kingdom, not the
Cursed Kingdom. Okay. That game is super fun. It is a side-scrolling adventure game where you can change into different things. So there's the kingdom gets cursed. That's where the title comes from. And then everybody gets turned into animals, basically. And you get turned into a pig, but you also later on get the ability to turn into different animals that have different powers. Very Shantae-ish in a way. And it's got this beautiful hand-drawn art style that I really, really love. Really pretty game. But they just patched the game in order to have crowd choice and state share. And that's just fantastic. I love this. And I'm more likely to jump back. Like, I would love to play this with crowd choice on. Basically, the way that you play it with crowd choice is that the people who are in your audience, they get to choose, do we want to give you more health or do we want to give you more coins? That kind of thing. Like, so you have like these choices that the audience gets to pick as you're playing, and then that stuff populates into your game, which is incredibly cool. And then they also said you'll have a more stable experience with fine-tuned GPU utilization. I don't know. The game seemed to run fantastic for me when I played it before, so I don't know. But are you going to do a stream of Monster Boy?
Yeah, my plan was yesterday or today to do a stream. Yesterday was a complete and total write-off. So my hope is early afternoon to do a Monster Boy stream here on the Nerd Nest channel, just to check it out. And really play through a game that I loved. I loved the original release of Wonder Boy in Monster, or Wonder Boy 3 or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it was called. Dragon's Curse, I guess, when it came out on the Sega Genesis back in the day. And then this remake is fantastic, and be able to play it with other people helping or hindering me just sounds like a complete ball. So when I have my time squared away and I have my window outlined, I'll schedule a video, and then you guys can come and watch me or help me or hurt me, whatever you want to do, as I play through some Monster Boy here.
Now, remind me, is this the one where you could just hit a button and it could go back to the old graphics, or is that a different one?
I don't recall if you can in this one. It's been a while since I've played it. I played it mostly on my Switch back when it first came out. I think you can, but I'm not positive on that.
Okay. Chris Lee is saying, any news on Disco Elysium on Stadia? So the reason that he's asking is that apparently the game had a game-breaking bug on Stadia, which was basically you would get to a certain point, which was well after the two-hour refund window, and you could not progress in the game anymore. Yep. I believe that the game has been patched, but I don't remember off the top of my head because I haven't been playing. I don't have that game. So I'm not positive, but I believe I remember seeing that it had been patched, and I even had planned on putting it in the show notes, and I just forgot because I'm old and goldfish memory. But I think it's been patched. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe people in our Discord have been talking about the fact that it has been patched, which is great.
CloudGamer201 in chat says the classes mode is on Dragon Quest, not Monster Boy. No, I understand that. I know that, but there's also a Monster Boy game where you can hit a button and, like, on the fly go back and forth. Maybe it's not Monster Boy, but I definitely wasn't confusing it with Dragon Quest, but you can go back and forth between the ancient Sega Master System graphics and the new modern hotness that we have today. Anyway, so go ahead.
You can switch between retro and modern in Wonder Boy and the Dragon's Trap.
Oh, okay. So I knew it was one of those, and I just couldn't remember which one. All right. Real quick, I want to thank our people who are members and who have also done Super Chats. So thank you very much to everybody who supports the show that way. You guys are all amazing. Really quick, we got a bunch of members in the past few days. I'm not going to read them all off, but they're on the screen right now if you're watching. So thank you to each and every one of you. You guys are absolutely fantastic. Sukotronic, like clockwork, sent in his super chat that he does every single week. We appreciate it, Suko. And then Johnny Bionic sent in a $10 super chat. Thank you for the help there, Johnny. He says, it's not a bug with the backbone button. It's three functions for one button. A press, a long press, and a press and hold. It's in the directions in the app and explains it has nothing to do with the web app.
It for me, I saw those instructions, and it only has an issue with the web app for me. So I wonder if there's some delay there. In other apps, you can click and hold the button for a second, and then it brings you to whatever the in-game menu is. On the backbone, it just seems more random to me. So I don't know if there's some lag because of the web app not receiving the input or whatever. I'm not sure what it is, but it hasn't been entirely 100%. So that was all I was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, but thank you for trying to help, Johnny. We do appreciate it. And speaking of help, PC Ra, Pakra, I don't know how to say your name. Tell me in chat how to say your name. I'm just going to call you PC probably. PC just became a member. Thank you very much. If you have not already clicked on the join button to see reasons why you should, then do it. Click it. See what happens. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
I don't think so. I guess this is the time of the year that or time of the month rather, where we normally talk about our predictions for Pro. I am so like wrong all the time when it comes to that.
Pikuniku.
Yeah. Pikuniku is going to be the one month I took that off, and we get it as our thing. So yeah, it's kind of annoying. I don't know what games will be coming. People are assuming that Ark will be coming just because of the guidelines that the developer said when it will be coming out. So yeah, I think Ark is probably a lock, but I can't think of anything else that we'll get. Probably some newer games that we don't even know about.
Yeah. You know, there was this problem a little bit ago where the Dark Side Detective, A Fumble in the Dark, was they had said a while back that it was going to be a pro game. They said it in a This Week in Stadia thing. And then when it came out, it's not a pro game. And I don't think Google ever really explained what happened there. Maybe that's going to be a pro game this month, next month instead, which I think... I mean, the game just came out. That's just going to tick off a lot of people who bought it, and then 2 weeks later, they could have gotten it for part of their subscription. So I hope that they don't do that, because that's just going to make people mad at them.
That one would make sense because the second chapter just came out. So the first chapter launched, and then like 2 weeks later, the second chapter came out on Stadia, where on other platforms, you had the first chapter for a year or more. Mm-hmm. So maybe that would be a good thing for Google to do and the developers of the game to do, is give the first one away, get people hooked, and then sell them the sequel. So I wouldn't put it past them to have that one as a pro title either.
Yeah. So if you guys have ideas for what your favorite your predictions, there we go. God, I couldn't talk. Your predictions for what the what are they called, Lloyd?
Pro titles.
Thank you. All right. I give up. If you have predictions, tell somebody. All right. Just yeah. Go tell somebody. Don't tell me, because I can't. I'll be like, what are you talking about? It's a pro title, because I can't even remember that. All right. I think that's it for the show today. Thank you all for hanging out with us. I hope you have an awesome day. Lloyd, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.